This morning, we're going to take a look at probably one of the most well-known parables that Jesus used in order to teach the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, recorded in chapter 13 of Matthew. As we mentioned last week, Matthew chapter 13 is called the parable chapter of Matthew because in this chapter, Matthew brings together several parables. They all sort of have a similar theme. The theme is the power of the gospel, but also the hidden nature of the gospel. That the gospel is something which works beneath the surface, behind the scenes, demonstrating that our God is not a God who's interested in image or appearance, but rather substance. Today's parable goes like this. Reading from the 13th chapter, beginning at the first verse. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil where it produced a crop 160 or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear. And then down in verse 18, Jesus gives us his own interpretation of the parable. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution come because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word, understands it, and he produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. And it seems appropriate with so many farmers working to get their harvest in. We've seen them out working as late as 10 o'clock at night with corn pickers and going through soybean fields. It seemed good to take a look at a parable that talked about planting and reaping. Last week, Jesus told us that we are among the privileged few to whom it is given to understand the secrets of the kingdom. And after hearing that, we might tend to get boastful and say, look at the trust that Jesus has placed in us. But we should take a look at the example of the disciples, who when they heard a parable didn't understand it, might have asked Jesus, what do you mean? It's been given to us to understand. We don't understand it any more than the people do. And Jesus' answer might have been, yes, but they don't have me giving them the explanation like I'm going to do for you. To be privileged to understand the secrets of the kingdom simply means that through Jesus Christ we have a key to understanding. If we try to understand these things through our own wisdom and our own insight, we will fail just like everybody else because that's the same resource that they have. But we have an additional resource, and that additional resource is the Holy Spirit living within us, who works in much the same way as Jesus himself did for the apostles. He journeys with us, he travels with us, he gets to see how we act in certain circumstances. He's able to point out to us our own personal need for repentance and renewal, and he is able to give us understanding of those things that on our own we don't understand. And so this morning we are privileged to have Jesus take the podium and to actually explain his own parable and to tell us what it means. This parable, as well as the other parables in this chapter, are, as I mentioned before, parables about the kingdom of heaven and how the kingdom of heaven works, and about the gospel and what God means to accomplish through the gospel. Even last week's interlude or introduction, where Jesus says, "This is why I teach in parables, so that the secrets of the kingdom of heaven may remain hidden to those who don't really care about the kingdom, but for those who long for God's kingdom and long for God's presence, the meaning of the parables becomes apparent, and the parables are able to teach us important facts about the kingdom of heaven." So let's take a look at this first parable and see what we can learn about the kingdom and about ourselves. I have three lessons that I'd like to draw your attention to as we go through this parable of the sower. The first lesson, I think, is the most overlooked when people examine this parable and try to discover its meaning. The first lesson is that the life and power of the gospel are found not in our faith or our ability to agree with God, but the power of the gospel is in the gospel itself. We're told that the seed is the gospel. The seed is not faith. You ask most people, they'll say, well, it's the seed of faith. Faith very small, but able to make big differences. But Jesus says, no, in this parable, the seed represents not your faith, but the gospel of the kingdom of God. And contained in that seed is power. You may not believe it to look at it. It lies in your hand rather dead. You could look at it for days and nothing will ever happen to it. But contained in that seed is a power that you and I can do nothing to create and nothing to exploit. The power is there. In the same way, as we seek to live for God, we should be looking not to our own strength, but rather to the strength that God places within us, the hidden strength of His kingdom at work within our hearts, to create in our own hearts a mini kingdom of God, a place where God rules, and a place where God's standards, as revealed to us in the Sermon on the Mount, are lived out day after day. Jesus speaks of sowing the seed in a way that we're not really familiar with in this country. Hasn't been done this way for years. He speaks of going out into a field with a handful of seed and just throwing it. No plowing up of the land. No treating it with pesticides and herbicides. Simply throwing the seed everywhere, all around, and letting the seed grow wherever it will. Sort of reminds me of when we first moved to West Milton. We used to like cantaloupe and watermelon. And when we were done eating, we would take the seeds and throw them out back in the little, we had a little burn barrel there, and we also had a place on the ground around it that was just, you know, we didn't bother mowing it because we've usually no grass grew there or anything. But the following spring, we had little things coming up out of the ground. And in the summer, we had tiny little cantaloupes growing on the vine. And here the seeds that we had just mindlessly scattered around by the burner barrel had a life of their own and decided that they were going to grow some fresh cantaloupes and watermelon. That's the power of the seed. You all know of examples where, say, birds come and they roost on telephone wires, and the next thing you know, the following year, you've got raspberry bushes growing up underneath the telephone. Where'd they come from? That's the power of the seed. The seed doesn't know anything about proper soil or improper soil. It lands wherever it lands, and its fate is largely determined by the quality of soil in which it falls. So the first lesson that I learned from the parable of the sower is that if I want the gospel to grow and have power in my life, all I need to do is expose myself to it. I'm surprised at the number of people who will say, you know, I just don't believe this God stuff. It doesn't make sense to me. Or people who will say, you know, this business of creation, it really doesn't make any sense. Or this idea of the morals taught in the Bible, that's so old-fashioned. And it just doesn't seem to fit in with today. And I'll ask them, well, do you spend any time thinking about it? Oh, no. Waste of time thinking about it. Do you ever listen to people who expound on the truth of the gospel? No, not really, because they don't think there's any truth there. Here are people who never expose themselves to the seeds of the gospel, and then they wonder why the gospel never grows in their heart. I deal with many people who never spend any time in church. And then some of them will point wistfully at other people and say, boy, I wish I had their faith. And I often say, well, if you'd expose yourself to the same influences that they're exposed to, maybe you'll have that faith. Jesus is telling us that the faith is not really a quality that we ourselves possess, and some of us have more than others. Faith is just the natural process contained within the seed. You expose yourself to the gospel, and the gospel will work in you. If you don't expose yourself to the gospel, how do you expect the gospel to work in you? And so I think Jesus would say to us, expose yourself to that seed. Let that seed be scattered in your heart as often as possible. How do we do that? We do that by worshiping together, where the word is proclaimed. We do that by sharing in the sacraments, where the word is properly proclaimed. We do that when we have fellowship outside of Sunday morning, Bible study, prayer service, even getting together on our own with one or two other believers for a time of dedicated prayer for each other's needs. We do that through the songs and hymns that we sing on Sunday morning that sometimes we find ourselves humming or singing on Thursday afternoon. Anytime we expose ourselves to the Word, the seed has a chance to fall in the soil of our hearts and produce a crop. The second lesson I learned from this parable is that there are certain things that I can do to maximize the power of the seed. Any farmer will tell you this. Any farmer can go out into his fields and scatter the seed, and some seed will grow. But if he wants a bumper crop, there are some things he can do to maximize the potential of the seed. Jesus talks a little bit about that today when he talks about seed landing on soil that's hard. And if we remember that the soil is the heart, and we ask ourselves, what's it mean to have a hard heart? I think it's easy for us to understand what Jesus means. Hard-heartedness is usually associated with the refusal to forgive, or with a feeling of pain or injury that's allowed to nurse itself into bitterness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, Paul says, if you forgive anyone, I also forgive him. And what I have forgiven, if there's anything to forgive, I have forgiven in the sight of Christ for your sake, in order that Satan might not outwit us. You see, the seed sowed on the hard soil was exposed to the birds of the air who came down and ate it before it had a chance to grow. Jesus said that represents those who, when they hear the gospel, don't pay any attention to it right away, and Satan comes and snatches it out of their hearts. He snatches it out of their hearts because their hearts are hard, primarily because of an unwillingness to forgive, or an unwillingness to surrender up to God the pain that they have experienced at the hands of other people. That pain turns to bitterness, and that bitterness chokes them out. As Paul says, I have forgiven in order that Satan may not outwit me. For we are not unaware of his scheme. Satan sows dissent. Satan sows an unwillingness to forgive. And the hardness of heart that develops from that crop makes it very difficult for the seed of the gospel to penetrate. And so what I learned from this second lesson is that if I want the seed of the gospel to prosper in my heart, I must break up my heart. I must not be proud. I must be willing to allow God to soften my heart so that I'm willing to forgive, so that I'm willing to consider the needs of others, so I don't allow bitterness to destroy me. These are the things that keep the seed from penetrating in the heart and enable Satan to come along and easily pluck it away. The third lesson that I learned from this parable is that there are certain enemies of the gospel that I must actively attack. These are things external to myself, but still present within me. Jesus refers to them as stones and as weeds. He says, there's the ground that has lots of weeds, but as the seed grows up, the weeds choke the life out of the seed. And those weeds are diversions. The deceitfulness of wealth. And things that I consider more important than seeking after the kingdom. And then there are the stones. There are the stones that prevent the seed from taking deep root. There's an interesting story about these stones in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 25, that popped into my mind as I was thinking about this and looking for an illustration of what Jesus might mean. I'd like to read for you that passage, 2 Kings 3, starting at verse 24. When the Moabites came to the camp of Israel, the Israelites rose up and fought them until they fled. And the Israelites invaded the land of Moab and slaughtered the Moabites. They destroyed the towns, and each man threw a stone on every good field until it was covered. They stopped up all the springs and cut down every good tree. Only Kir-Harosheth was left with its stones in place. But men armed with slings surrounded it and attacked it as well. Here you have a story of ancient warfare. Ancient warfare we usually think of being fought with spears and swords and arrows. But here was a battle fought with stones. Not stones thrown at people, but stones picked up and carried and deposited on the fields of the Moabites. And we might say, well, what good does that do? To understand what good it does, just ask Tammy, she'll tell you. Because every year when her father owned a farm, the worst part of the year, it seemed, was going out in the spring, walking through the fields and picking up all the stones that were in the field. Because the more stones that are out in the field, the less you yield. So you go through, you pick up the stones to clear the soil. So the soil has more room to take in the seed, and so there are fewer obstacles to the seed's growth. What are the stones when it comes to the growth of the gospel and the kingdom of God in our own hearts? The stones represent suffering, Jesus said. Jesus tells us in this parable that the land that was rocky and that was full of stones is a land that's full of hardship, where the hardship turns the person away from God. When trouble and persecution come because of the word, he quickly falls away. Think of the persecution the people of Japan are experiencing. Still, 6 months after the tsunami and earthquake. Think of the persecution that the Flood family is feeling as one of their younger members has a disease that means that all of them have to leave the mission field and come home. How can God be working in that? They ask the question in their letter. How can that be good for us? How can God's will be good if this is a part of His will? It doesn't seem good for us. But the gospel is able to grow in the soil of a heart that says to God, "Your will be done. Help me to understand. Show me the way that I should go. Support and uphold me when the difficulties of life become too much for me, and in my own strength I can no longer make it." This is the secret to growing a bumper crop, because there will always be hardship. Just as each year the farmer doesn't know what kind of weather he's going to have. And if there's plenty of rain in the spring, there might be a drought in the summer. Or if the weather in the summer is nice, the weather at the harvest might be so wet they can't get into the fields. You just never know. But you face each day as a day of possibilities. You do what the day allows. And you trust that while you do your work, the power of those seeds will do its work. And you will have a crop. In the same way, as I put to work the three lessons that I've learned today, as I expose myself to that seed and allow more and more of it to fall on my heart, as I break up my heart and make sure that it's not hardened by unforgiveness and bitterness, as I cultivate my land, as I get rid of the stones, the bad attitudes toward hardship, and as I clear my heart of the weeds of diversion and the deceitfulness of pleasures and wealth, I make my heart fertile ground for the seed. The seed does all the rest. The gospel grows within me. I become a part of the kingdom of God. And through me, the kingdom of God reaches others. Heavenly Father, we pray that each of us may represent a field ripe for the sowing of your word, a field in which your word will grow and prosper and bear a bumper crop, a field in which each of us will begin to bear the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Through Christ we pray. Amen.